Right, Jim Taylor on WMJ and WMJ.com. We're with the state representative, Dan Swanson. The fall veto session, the first portion of that wrapped up here recently. And I know we talked to Representative Swanson probably about a week ago leading up to the veto session. And Governor Bruce Rauner vetoed a local bill of importance involving Lyme disease and a youngster who was suffering from said Lyme disease. Dan Swanson, welcome to the WRMJ microphone. So let's first talk about the success of getting the override of the governor's veto of this bill.
Well, thank you, Jim. Always glad to be here. And it was the governor did a mandatory veto of the Lyme bill. And the Lyme bill was set up in basically two parts. One part was set up to educate doctors on Lyme disease and also establish this task force to help educate constituents or residents of Illinois. And the governor was okay with that. The part that he did veto was the immunities or abilities of doctors to treat Lyme disease outside of the CDC protocols. And what do I mean by that? Well, CDC allows doctors to treat up to 21 days of antibiotics, but the life cycle of Lyme is 28 days, so we're treating it short of what was required. With this legislation, doctors now will be able to provide antibiotics beyond the CDC protocols of 21 days. When you look at tuberculosis, you can treat that up to 7 months, 8 months. Some young people who have acne problems take antibiotics longer than 21 days, so with the support of the House and the Senate, we were able to override the governor's veto. So now giving doctors the abilities to treat Lyme longer without retribution or the fear of losing their license.
And this bill is named in honor of whom?
This bill is named in honor of Lauren Russell, a seventh grader here at Mercer County Schools. It was her mother who brought the problem to my office back in September of last year, and Jennifer and her daughter Lauren were with me side by side as we went through this whole process, meeting with stakeholders. Lauren actually testified in front of a Senate committee hearing and a House committee hearing, something not many seventh graders have done probably. She also talked with state legislators, both in the House and the Senate, and actually met the governor a few times. I think that was the first time I saw Lauren tongue-tied was when she met with the governor.
All right. Well, I want to hear her, so I'm going to swing the microphone over to her. So, Lauren Russell, you sound like a brave kid. You had an audience with the governor and state legislators. So, first up, just tell us what you learned from this, kind of this whole overwhelming experience. One, you're battling an illness. And two, you got to tell your story about the illness. And then three, you have to meet with those type of people who make those type of decisions. So tell us about the whole experiencing. How challenging was that for you?
It was pretty challenging, but then like it was really eye-opening as well. So like you can actually see like how everything works and you can just see everything.
So tell us, like, what your story was. What were the different things that you, when you testified on behalf of this bill, what were some of the things you told these lawmakers?
Just that, like, all these people are suffering and this just needs to be brought to attention. It just needs to be said. It needs to be, all these people need help, so.
Were any tough questions asked of you? Do you remember? Or they basically just listened to you and said, "We're on board with this Lauren Russell kid."
Pretty much. It was just a little disappointing that the governor listened to the wrong people. And
but you're able to win enough support in the veto session to override that, and this becomes law. Has it? And I know you're just a seventh grader, and maybe this hasn't sunk in, but you basically have. I mean, it's a law. So there's a law in Illinois that has your name on it. Have you thought about that at all? I mean, I know you're only a seventh grader, but someday when you look back and say, well, when they talk about this, you know, Lyme disease Prevention Act. Hey kids, hey grandkids, hey great grandkids when I'm 85 years old. That's named after me. So, I mean, do you think about that at all or not?
Yeah, it's really cool actually.
What if some, like, you know, a seventh grader, what do some of your friends say to you when they hear stuff like this? I mean, is there like, wow, you're a big deal, or are there?
Yeah.
All right, so you got to tell me then, suffering from Lyme disease. Tell me the story. So how long ago did you pick it up? How did it happen? How was it diagnosed? Tell me that whole story.
We don't really know how it happened. We assume it was kind of from a tick, but we are not completely sure how that happened. I've had it for 6 years.
6 years? How old were you when you had it then? When you first were diagnosed, did you initially know? You can step in, Mom, and tell us a little bit about this. So she was, were you trying to find a diagnosis of it and didn't know initially, or did you find out pretty quickly?
She was in first grade, 7 years old. She came home from school, and I heard the bus, and she never came inside. So I went out and found her laying in the driveway. And she said, Mom, my legs are too tired. I can't walk inside. So over the course of the weekend, she just kept getting sicker. Of course, my mom instinct first was maybe she could come down with mono. She was progressively sicker over the weekend and started running a fever, and she started vomiting blood. Took her to the emergency room, and they thought something had happened with her ear. She never did get better. She just was continued to get sick. They tested her white blood count was a 2.8, which was very low. So they sent us to the University of Iowa, and they thought she had leukemia. And so they thankfully, right before they did the bone marrow procedure, they did another check of her blood, and it had come up just a little bit. So they sent us home telling us they thought she had a virus. And she ran a fever for over a month, couldn't go back to school. And they just kept telling us they thought she had a virus. And eventually, after about a month, she started getting a little better. And then in second grade, she woke up and had lost her short-term memory. And so that was extremely difficult when learning at school and math changing very, very fast. But and then in third grade, the teacher called me, and they thought she was having some sort of seizure. She had like a drooping of her face, and what we figured out was Bell's palsy. And in fourth grade was when things really started. She was sleeping in class. She had light sensitivity, sleeping all the time, 16 hours a day. She had to, so we found another doctor in Chicago, and they tested her for Lyme, and she came back positive.
And that was, how old was she then, from seven to what?
So it took 3 years to get
no
a diagnosis.
Kidding.
Yeah.
So, because I know some of the time they tell you with the Lyme disease, if you get that, is it that like baseball?
The bullseye
rash.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she,
did she ever have
She
that?
Never got one until she had it for 3 years.
Yes. 3 years?
3 years. She developed three bullseye rashes under her armpits, and we, you know, took pictures of it, took her in, and they said that we had one doctor tell us that they thought she did it to herself and that she needed to go see someone.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And
that's a long, strange ride,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. So I did my own research and found out that in Lyme disease in late stage, the bullseyes are different. They're very small. They don't grow, and they're at a place where the bacteria is active, which in her case
so
would have been her lymph nodes.
So it doesn't necessarily mean where the bite is at then?
No, okay. Not in a later stage. In an acute stage it would be, but not late stage.
So then the treatment then, this is where the additional issue comes in then for you.
Yep.
So you need the legislation is beyond the 21 days of CDC protocol. That's what you
need. So when she at this point she had already had it 3 years. And they only gave her 14 days of antibiotics.
And by the way, this is such a fascinating discussion. Really, it is. And man, what a...
It's been a long trip.
It's not even fair to call it an ordeal. I don't know what I would call it
that
you've been through. But, yeah, I mean, so carry on then. You need the additional treatment.
Yeah, so they gave her 14 days, and all that did was just make the bacteria mad at this point. So she was... joint pain horribly. It flared it out. She was crying all the time, couldn't walk down the stairs. Her knees hurt so bad. We went to infectious disease, and he said, there's no way this is Lyme disease. So the pediatrician did give us another round of 14 days, and it did nothing. So they ended up, once we got to the doctor that diagnosed her completely with Lyme disease, that she got longer antibiotics.
So she's still receiving treatment now then?
Oh, yes. Okay. Wow. Yeah, and she probably will for a long time.
Yeah, so how do you, when you go through the actual medical part of it, okay, I get that. I mean, that's its own set of issues.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think she handled then this part of it, the legislation part of it, where you're dealing kind of with the sickness and then, well, you need to tell your story, Kim, because we want this to become law where we can get some extension with these antibiotics to treat maybe other kids that are in your situation. So you knew it was going to be kind of overwhelming initially. Mm-hmm. So how do you think she dealt with all that?
Oh, my goodness. Lauren did fantastic. She was a super trooper sitting there in front of the House committee and just read her speech, like, very fluently and did an awesome job. And she won their hearts. That's what she did. So we've went places outside of the Capitol and Representative Swanson would introduce me, and they're like, oh, you're Lauren Russell's mom. She's famous down there.
So now that you see it approved, so you fuel the success, then you're like, well, the governor vetoed it. And then you're like, what?
Yeah.
So then are we back to square one? And then you saw a pretty quick override in the fall veto session, because when he initially told me that, I remember when he was here a couple, talking about Representative Swanson, when he was here for, it was a couple weeks before the fall veto session with the principal for a day at Apollo, and he said, well, there are 77 bills they're considering. And I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, oh, great, are they going to even, is this even going to be heard in the fall veto session? And thankfully it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the roller coaster of dealing with the sickness and then the roller coaster of dealing with legislation.
It was very stressful.
But then the six, you know you're kind of on the right page when you get overwhelming support across party lines, across metro, rural areas, whatever, that you know you're doing the right thing, it looks like.
And you know you're doing the right thing when you're sitting up in the House gallery and you have pretty much a clapping, standing ovation on your bill passing. You know you're doing the right thing. They had so many calls from constituents that are suffering. It was a fantastic moment.
All right. And I guess as we wrap up here, Representative Swanson, I mean, this is kind of how democracy works, really, right? I mean, in terms of you hear something from a constituent and you try to serve that constituent and resolve something. I mean, isn't this like the poster child of how basically everything should work in the state of Illinois when we're talking about government? Unfortunately, it always doesn't, but here's a nice victory we can hang our hat on.
Right. Yeah, it was Jennifer did a great job rounding up constituents and reaching out to other Lyme sufferers. She has a great team of people that came to Springfield to help lobby last spring and then again this fall veto session. But when the speakers, the people's voice is heard and other state representatives and senators are called by constituents from their district, they take notice. And that's how legislation, as you said, Jim, should be done, is at the grassroots level. And when it impacts so many of so many different ages, some people, in Lauren's case, 3 years before she was diagnosed, some have been 20, 30 years before they're diagnosed. And it goes on and on. And believe it or not, the CDC testing for Lyme disease is only 40% to 60% accurate.
Well, that's evident with the story she told me.
So, yeah, it's just, and that's what we rely on. And that's why people continue to have the illness, because they don't get a positive test. And that's part of what the task force is designed to do, is to help educate our medical professionals and also to make people aware of ticks are in our area. And as we talked earlier, Jen, we met with the University of Illinois, and the University of Illinois is willing to collect ticks now, or as we collect ticks. Lauren's brother shot a deer, and she collected 43 ticks off that deer just here in Mercer County.
Lauren's uncle.
Okay. I'm sorry, Jennifer's brother.
Is it 43?
Yeah, 43 ticks off of that one deer. So they're out there. And, you know, they're being sent down to the University of Illinois where Holly will take a look at those and identify what those ticks may be carrying.
And, I mean, this is more of a story than anything.
It's a good news story.
I mean, you talk about legislation, but this is like an unbelievable story to be told, from the medical to the legislation. Well, and I guess I ask you, Lauren, I mean, how are you feeling? You look like you feel pretty good now.
Pretty good.
Well, and I assume from Mom, I know you've probably done enough talking in your life with this issue, so I won't pause anymore. But I mean, how do you feel now? You know what I'm saying? I mean, from when you're talking about, you said age 7 it started, mm-hmm. and you're what, 13? 13. So that's 6 years. I know being a parent and dealing with any medical related issue where you want an answer. Mm-hmm. I mean, 6 years is a freaking long time.
It's a very long time.
How much of a toll did that, I'm just curious how much of a toll that took on you. You know, and I'm talking about everything. You know, that impacts your
everything
personal
you do.
Life with your relationships, yep. your professional lives. With your relationship where you can't focus on anything else.
That's right.
And then everything, and then financially too, that's mm-hmm. right.
Yes.
But I mean, you cannot comprehend and cannot focus on the task at hand in front of you. And I'm talking about everything from the simplest personal yep. relationship to a very important professional relationship where you have a job and mm-hmm. you have to support your family, but you know, you can't function or focus at it. I just can't yeah. imagine what you're
it's
we're
been,
dealing
it's
with.
It's been very difficult. It's you have a little bit of PTSD about even going outside. You're always aware of it. You are thinking about it constantly. And, you know, Lauren and I try to make the best of what situation that we've been handed. And our little theme is we make our mess our message. So, you know, we're out educating. We started a nonprofit and trying to educate physicians. And I've been over to the hospital a couple times, you know, talking to their doctors. And I have a tick lab that flies in and does presentations. And it's become our life. And
well, in the other part of it that I know comes into play when you have a sick kid and you're trying to get an answer. And you think maybe you get the answer, right? Mm-hmm. You get false hope.
Yep.
And then the kid doesn't feel good again. And then yep. you kind of get frustrated with the kid a little bit and say, come on, man, you don't feel better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing you deal with. I mean, the emotions of dealing with that for 6 years where you say, well, they got it figured out. Well, no, they don't. She's at school again and she's having a seizure or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I thought they told me they had it impacted. That's the other
yeah.
thing that's really
it's,
the frustrating part of it.
It's a huge roller coaster. Huge roller coaster of emotions, and you know, you worry about your kids constantly anyway. And when they're very ill like this, you worry about them night and day and lose sleep. And many prayers have been said mm-hmm. on Lauren and her health, and you know, finding the best route. And you know, you worry that whether your treatment that you're giving her is the right thing. What it's going to do to her body when she's older, but you just have to take it day by day.
Right, you only get one bill named after you, right? But the perfect case for it. So anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
Our nonprofit, I do just want to thank. We have had overwhelming support, and Bank Orion just recently gave me some office space to have our office up there, and I'm so appreciative. And the Mercer Foundation for Health also has, Al's Willing has been phenomenal support to me and to Lauren and our mission. And I'm really excited that the bill passed, obviously, but now the work comes in where we need to begin the education and get some materials together for the medical community. And we're excited to work with the Mercer County Health Department and proceed forward and bring some awareness to Mercer County and the Quad Cities. So,
thanks for coming in today. I really appreciate it. And setting this up, Representative Swanson, and thankful for the great work on this bill, too.
Well, thank you. And the thank yous go out, as Jen said, to so many people that took time to come to Springfield or took time to call their legislators. Some, as we don't realize, are sick in bed, and the only thing they might be able to do is make that one phone call. But they made that call, and it made a difference. And what a great story here for Mercer County.
Amen.
A great young lady here. And a mom, as I told many people, there's nothing like the passion of a mother with a sick child. And that's proven twice to me with this with other legislation. So all right. Thank you very much, Jim.
All right. Again, so the bill won approval in the General Assembly, vetoed, and then a quick override in the fall veto session. Again, the name of the bill. We need to tell everybody the name of the bill. Go ahead.
Lauren Russell, Lyme Disease Prevention and Protection Law.
Right here, 13-year-old 7th grader from the proud halls of Mercer County Junior High in Joy, Illinois. All right, let's have a happy holiday season, and let's celebrate a great success and a great story in Mercer County. I'm Jim Taylor.